WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
نکاح دے مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح دے مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم گلستاں پہ شادابی سایہ فگن ہے گلستاں پہ شادابی سایہ فگن ہے امیدوں کی نکہت بہار مجسم بہار مجسم نہ رقص و طرب ہے نہ لہو لعب ہے نہ رقص و طرب ہے نہ لہو لعب ہے یہ شادی ہے پر رونق و رش کے عالم یہ شادی ہے پر رونق و رش کے عالم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ اہلاً وسہلاً ومرحباً بكم. It's a beautiful morning. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning. يوم الأربعاء. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia on this overcast, mashallah, Wednesday here in Johannesburg. I see my beloved two engineers are in a good mood, and that is Haji Suleiman Esop and of course brother Bonface, who's good looking, and of course Haji Suleiman doing well, good looking as well. I want to welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal in company, and of course I want to welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The 3rd of August 2022, which is also the 4th of Muharram, 1444. We welcome once again our beloved Fadilatul Honorable Ustad, who's in Durban at the moment. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Ustad, it's a beautiful morning here in Johannesburg. It's drizzling, it's raining. Welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته بارك الله فيكم ونعرفات جزاك الله خيرا everything fine here in Durban الحمد لله رب العالمين
آمين 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 ثم آمين Ustad, somebody says here that a person knowing the effect of the words divorce and still saying it, and the one who is unaware of it, do both have the same effect? Anonymous, Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we start with the said announcement, Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, to all the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. To each one of us, we make special dua for all our deceased. Today we receive the sad news, our brother Yusuf Bulbulia of Heidelberg, he passed away, and the pickup time will be at 11:30 today just now, and 11:45 will be his Salatul Janazah there in the Heidelberg Graveyard Cemetery. May Almighty Allah grant our brother Yusuf Bulbulia Jannatul Firdaus. Allah Ta'ala grant his family Sabre Jameel. In Islam, remember, for the basic rules, ignorance is not an excuse. If a person says that he never realized that when wind comes out, so then his wuzu will break. And then he carried on for weeks or months like that. So remember, his wuzu will be broken. He'll have to repeat his salat and so forth that he had in that condition. So similarly, that when a person was married, so he he knows what the consequences are of talaq. If he gave one, it's one. If he gave two, it's two. If he gave three, it's three. So to say, no, that I did not know, and so forth. So ignorance of the law in these type of issues is not a valid excuse. And Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear, talaatun jidduhunna jiddun wa hazluhunna jiddun. There are three things seriously, if they said, then also it will be considered seriously. And even if it was said jokingly, people take this very light. Therefore, the Quran Sharif states in this very context of nikah and marriage and talaq and divorce, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوَا. Do not take the verses of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala to be something very, very light and joking with it and so forth. These are serious issues. It will impact on your marital status, it will impact on your wife, on your children, so many things will happen. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salasun jidduhunna jiddun wa hazluhunna jiddun. And jokingly you say so, then also it will be valid and considered as serious. So which are these three things? The hadith in Mishkat Sharif, and nikah. One is nikah and marriage, one is talaq, and one is divorce, and the third one will be raj'ah. The husband gave his wife one talaq, one divorce, Allah forbid, or two, and then he takes her back. He said, no, I'm just joking. So this type of joking is not acceptable, and taking her back or the talaq, all will be valid.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I want to find out, I'm unemployed currently, studying nursing, Ustad. My husband gave me jewelry as meher, worth 20,000. Do I still have to pay zakat? Am I allowed to take my husband's money and pay for the jewelry, Ustad?
Here there are three different issues. Number one is this, that you are still married to your husband, the way I understood the question, and your husband gave you jewelry. The value of it is 20,000 rand. So yes, zakat is compulsory upon you for that jewelry there, according to the Hanafi scholars and jurors, because remember that the minimum threshold for the nisab of zakat is 7,000 rand, and now you possess more than that. Yes, according to Shafi's, Malik's, Hanbali's, the majority of scholars, they say, La zakata fil huli. There is no zakat in jewelry for the case for the lady and so forth, unless she never wore it the entire year and so forth. So that is for Shafi's, Malik's, Hanbali's majority. But Hanafi's, whether the lady is using it or not using it, in all cases, zakat will be compulsory. So that's the first issue you should understand. Second issue, who must pay that amount there? So you should pay. It's not necessary zakat must be paid in cash. For example, last year you gave zakat, so you gave one ring away. Or for example, this year you give one bangle away, so you can pay zakat. You must remember in cash or kind, your clothing, your shoes, whatever extra things you have that are permissible, so you give to poor Muslim. If your husband is generous and magnanimous, mashallah, and he tells you, oh honey, don't worry, I will pay the money for the zakat and so forth, so all that would be permissible as well. Third one, remember that you want to go and work and so forth. So my advice will be to you that rather you stay at home and all your expenses your husband has to pay for you, whether it's roti, kapra, makan and so forth. That is, whether it is your shelter, food, clothing, education or whatever, medication and so forth. Islam says all that is his responsibility. You have certain skills, rather from your house, you teach some of the ladies, some of the young girls, that they should try and inculcate and learn all these skills that you have, and in that way you become an asset to society. So that is what Islam will teach you.
The sister says here that she has her husband who does not perform Salatul Jumu'ah. She wants to know, is our nikah valid, Ustad?
Remember that if he rejects the Salat, he rejects the five daily Salat, or if he rejects Jummah Salat, then obviously he's out of the fold of Islam and is a Murtad and so forth. Quran Sharif speaks of the five daily Salat. The Quran Sharif, Allah revealed an entire surah, an entire chapter, Surah 62, Suratul Jumu'ah, chapter number 62, comprising 11 verses. So that is if he rejects it. Second one is this, he says, no, it is compulsory, but he's lazy to read and so forth and so on. Then also, according to majority Sahaba and students and companions of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Hanbali school, he's out of the fold of Islam, the nikah is broken, and he will not be buried in a Muslim graveyard. That is the Hanbali school from the four schools. However, the Hanafi, Shafi's and the Maliki say he's Muslim, but the Shafi's and the Maliki's, Shafi's and Maliki say such a person is wajibul qatl, you must give him the death penalty. And the Hanafi say you must imprison him hatta yamut or yatub, till he repents or till he passes away. So my advice to you will be that start ta'aleem in your house and so forth. Take Riyadu Salihin. Take, remember the Fazail works of Hazrat Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Zakariya Nawarallahu Marqadahu. I was just reading an article this morning that Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Zakariya, in these days of Muharram, his love for the family of Nabi alayhi salam was so intense that you should read the whole Quran and say Isali Sawab for the family of Nabi alayhi salam and the whole Ummah and everybody else. So imagine that these are the great, great Akabir and the great, great ulama and so forth and so on. So each one of us should follow in their footsteps and will be inspired and motivated. And if he's not listening, he is not interested, then best for you that you go out of this marriage, temporary or permanently, you make istikhara. To stay with such a person, remember, in Islamic law, he is considered as a fasik, fajir, openly. Ma salakakum fi saqar, what will make you walk straight into Jahannam? Quran says, qalu lam naku min al muswallin, that I never used to perform salat and so forth. So you make istikhara. If he doesn't want to listen at all, then you rather leave him temporary or you leave him permanently. So that will be what Islam tells you in this circumstance.
So, sir, can I work for my husband as an employer of his company, Anonymous Ustad?
You mean as an employee that you go and work for your husband, but where? You mean you're going to go work in his shop or in his factory or in his warehouse? You will have to interact with 101 men and so forth. It's haram, obviously. You want to help and assist your husband today. You know, for 2 years, 2020, 2021, people were running big, big companies and international companies from their houses through Zoom and what and all these type of things. So why you don't sit at home and you can help your husband do 101 things, that instead of him hiring a secretary, instead of him hiring a PA, personal assistant, and so forth. So you do all that, and he must pay you for all this. These are extra things you are doing. So in that way, you become a wonderful team where you assist one another. He will be in the warehouse, in the shop, in the factory, in the farm, wherever, and you will be at home, and then you can communicate via WhatsApp, communicate via email and SMS, and so many ways nowadays you can communicate. So that is what Islam will say in that situation. Not that you physically go there. It's haram and not permissible.
Sister says that she will be in the warehouse, but of course she's in parda, Ustad.
All that means nothing. You have to sit in your house. Don't mean you wear parda and calavant everywhere. All that is haram.
Somebody wants to say, Ustad, Anonymous says that Mufti Sahab, my wife is from India. We married for 19 years ago, but her papers are still not valid and her passport is expired. The consulate wants to have her deported. What should I do in this case? I really love her, Ustad.
Zahid, how can you wait for 19 years and all that? You to blame for all that. So best thing is you go there and you apologize or tell them what your circumstances are and so forth. And if they want to deport her and all these type of things, then remember they will say this is their law and what have you. So either you go to the consulate or either you go to the Home Affairs and you try and sort things out there. So that will be my advice to you. But you must realize in this case here, 100% you are guilty. When you are, everything is done and dusted, now you wake up after 19 years. I mean, you also should be using your common sense, you know. Although common sense nowadays is no more common, Quran Sharif states, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamities fall you, is because of your own actions and your own deeds.
A revered sister says that Mufti Sahib, being a revered sister is not easy, especially on a non-practicing husband. What should I do? Leave my husband and keep my deen, or just abolish Islam in totality? Ustad?
Remember that you must remain Muslim. That's why that Islam is means submission, surrendering lovingly, willingly, sincerely to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and to Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now you see that your husband, first question, is he a Muslim or is he not a Muslim? We're speaking of your husband. If he's not a Muslim, then Surah chapter 60, verse number 10 is very clear on that. And if you look at today's tafsir we're going to do, and that will be regarding these type of issues. Chapter 60, verse 10, between 5 plus 1, 105 to 130. La hunna hillul lahum wa la hum yahilluna lahun. Inshallah, that tafsir will play today, inshallah, Aziz, verses 9 and 10 of chapter 60. And the Muslim woman cannot be married to a non-Muslim male, irrespective of which religion he belongs to, whether it's a Christian, Jew, Hindu, or a Buddhist, or atheist, or whatever. وَلَاهُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنْ. And to leave no ambiguity, Almighty Allah mentioned it the other way. And they, the non-Muslim men, are not halal or not permissible for them, the Muslim lady. If that is your scenario, then remember, you must leave him immediately because he is a non-Muslim. So that's first case scenario. Second case scenario will be he is a Muslim, but he hardly practices anything of Islam, meaning that he doesn't read Salat, and maybe you understand he goes for gambling or he's still drinking alcohol, wine, swine, and what have you. So you must start ta'alim in your house, take Riyadu Salihin, take Fazail works, and so forth. And still he doesn't want to change and so forth, then you must tell him that now enough is enough and you are going to leave him. Obviously, the leaving part, you make istikhara, you ask Almighty Allah whether it should be temporary or permanent and so forth. Our function always is jorna, to make the home and to make the marriage work, not torna, not to break the marriage. Quran Kareem states wasulhu khair, reconciliation is the best. And you must turn more and more to Almighty Allah, my sister. Read chapter 25, Surah Furqan, the criterion, verse 74. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us such spouses and such children and progeny that are the coolness of the eyes. So in that way, Almighty Allah will make you closer to one another, provided both of you are Muslims and you have sincerity. Second one, read the Asma'ul Husna, the beautiful, wonderful 99 names of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will bless both of you. Read Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud, abundantly, inshallah.
Ustad is a student of Deen. She says, I don't know if she's upset or not, she says, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's wives were not forced to make Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's khidmat. It was up to them. So it's up to me to make my husband's khidmat. Student of Deen, Ustad.
Sister, you got the whole wrong end of Islam. I don't know what you studied and so forth. You must remember that that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala's commandments, when Allah gives, is not if I like and so forth, you have to do it. Second one, when Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commands you something, then you have to do it, whether we like or we don't like. So Quran Kareem teaches us, you must remember that وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, the husbands must treat their wives with love, respect and justice and so forth. It doesn't mean when the husband likes to, he must do so. And how that is compulsory, so when he commands you something, then and it's something permissible, then you have to do it. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Quran says وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَانَهَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ, Surah number 59 and verse number 7. Whatever Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded you, brought for you, you must accept it. وَمَانَهَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ, and whatever he, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prohibits you from, then you must abstain from it. So didn't you read this hadith in Mishkat, Mustadi Ahmad and various compilations? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the word red hypothetically. If I had to command somebody to make sajda to somebody, one creation making sajda to somebody, I should command the wife that she should make sajda and prostrate to the husband. So what you understand from here? That when the husband commands you to do something, you have to do so, provided it's not something haram. So you want to stay in that marriage, but you don't want to make lunch, you don't want to make supper. What you want to do? Play with the movies, look in the mirror, how beautiful or how unattractive you are, waste your time at the malls and that. So sister, yet you're studying, I don't know what you studied and so forth, but the way you are saying it is buhtan and totally unacceptable and the fabrication.
Allahu Akbar. 25 minutes after 11 South African time. A sister says, dear Mufti Saab, I'm the second wife, and now he says he can't afford to give me nafaqa. I can't go back to my parents' home, Mufti Saab. What do I do? I regret big time marrying him. Anonymous sister Ustad.
So obviously both of you are guilty. Quran Sharif teaches us in Surah number 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 3. In khiftum Allah ta'adilu fawahidatan. So if you fear that you can't do justice, you don't have the physical means, you don't have the financial means to maintain 2, 3, 4 wives, then you must stick with one wife. So when he can't do that, so he used you, and now he wants to tell you, okay, you must go. So you must remember that you must take him to court or the lawyer or whatever and say that whatever he owes you, he has to pay you. So that is compulsory. He can't just leave you hanging like that, you know. And second one, when you got married, so you also should be using your common sense. You'll just get married, but you don't realize what's going to cause so much harm to the first wife, and then this chap is just out to have a good time with you. You watch what I'm telling you, that after 6 months or next year, he will get another wife. He just wanted to have a good time with you and so forth, and now he's tired of you, and he says, no, now I can't afford you nafaka maintenance and so forth and so on. So both parties are to blame in this scenario here.
Ustad, I see the sister is crying. She's asking for help. You've moved this up. Can please phone her husband, Ustad.
Remember, we don't get involved in all these type of issues. With Allah's help, I'm in this field for over 40 years, and we don't get involved. We tell you, you go to your local imams, go to your local jamiyats, go to your local ulama organizations, and they will be the one. They got all the time, they got all the personnel. We only give you advice over the radio, or you send us WhatsApp, or you send us email, we just answer. But we must get involved, speak to the wife, speak to the husband, speak to father-in-law. We don't do all these type of things. We'll make dua for you, inshallah.
Ameen, 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 summa ameen. Listener says, Mufti Saab, certain sunnahs were abolished in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Will we be sinful to continue following the sunnah that was abolished, Ustad?
You must remember our deen of Islam was evolving during the time of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. So what Nabi sallallahu alayhi sallam said, Allah ta'ala abolished it. So finish, we can't practice on it. Somebody says, I want to read salat now. That I want to read my salatul duha. I want to read chash namaz now. But I won't first face Baytullah. I will face Masjidul Aqsa. So obviously the haram is not permissible that. So in a case like that, it's either based on ignorance or arrogance and so forth. So then Nabi alayhi salatu salam taught the ummah that in the authentic hadith mentioned in Abu Dawood ibn Majah, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashidin. That then you must follow my way and the way of the rightly guided khulafa. So you see, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did certain things, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu did certain things, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu did certain things, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu did certain things. So all that, it will be part of Sharia when the Sahaba agreed with it and so forth. So that is what deen is. What is already abrogated, cancelled, so that is no more deen. Remember that, that is shaitan is leading you astray that you want to practice on that.
Ustad, somebody says that my wife gave birth to triplets, Ustad. Please give us three good Muslim names for them and on which day should we name them, Ustad?
I don't know which day your wife gave birth. Remember, she gave birth yesterday. Yesterday was Tuesday. So on the Monday next week, then you name the baby. If she gave birth today, Wednesday, next Tuesday, Ashura day, then mashallah, you give the names and so forth. Just now, one lady here from Durban, that many times she asked questions. Her daughter, mashallah, gave birth. So she was asking for names and all that to a baby girl. So I told her, okay, I'll send you 100 names. So any one of you want names for children, boys' names, girls' names, we got 100 sahabas' name for the men, for the boys, and 100 sahabiyat for the females. So we will send it to you. Don't make long, long stories. Just write names, and then we will send it to you. And inshallah, anytime this afternoon or tomorrow, you know, I'm traveling and so forth in Durban, and today our program is there in Mountain Rise. Send me a WhatsApp on 071-888-1184. Inshallah, after the program or this afternoon or tomorrow, I'll send it out on all the groups, and inshallah, all of you will receive it as well.
Subhanallah. Ustaz, can I ask for cash when my husband dies? Ustaz?
So remember that what you know, who's going to die first. Maybe you pass away before him then. So remember that in a case like that, you must tell your husband that whilst all of you alive, he must draw up an Islamic will. The Islamic will state upon his death, then first thing will be burial, funeral expenses, so that must be paid. And you, the heirs, must make sure the things that don't belong to him, somebody left this by him, left that by him, all that must be returned now while he's alive. And if it's still there in your house, then after his death, it must be returned immediately to the rightful owners. Then number two will be the death of the deceased. So all that must be paid immediately. Some people want to wait for 40 days and 100 days, all that haram. Justice delayed is justice denied. Remember, you must pay the debts of the creditors immediately. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, nafsul mu'mini mu'allaqatun bituyunihi hatta tuqra'anu. Open Mustana Ahmad and various compilations, you'll find it. The person will not enter Jannah and paradise until and unless his or her debts are paid. Third is wasiyah, to bequeath for non-heirs, whether it's a person, organization, or something that's compulsory upon you. For example, you want to give to a madrasa or masjid or taruru, then it will be all voluntary. And second one will be that you want to give to your grandchildren, because you got children, so the grandchildren will not inherit. You want to bequeath, make wasiya for your adopted children. So all that, or stepchildren, or your mother-in-law, or somebody, so all that will fall in the category of wasiya. Maximum one-third from the net estate. Sometimes wasiya becomes compulsory. Hajj was compulsory upon you. For some reason or the other, you did not perform Hajj and you delayed. So you have to write in your world to see the 100,000 or 150,000, 200,000. You know how Hajj is so expensive nowadays. And the Hajj must be performed on my behalf and so forth. And then forth comes the shares of the heirs. So you can't just say that you want cash. So remember, let's say now if your husband passes away, so he's got cash, he's got cars, he's got properties, he's got business, so, and you've got children, so your share will be 1/8, 12.5%. So you will receive 12.5% in all this, the property, the cars, and the cash, and what have you. Thereafter, your husband has passed away, and now you are sitting with your children, and so forth. Then remember, if they are all sane and mature, and they all reach an agreement, amicable agreement, there's no coercion, you're not imposing upon anybody, that you tell them, you know what, just give me the cash, certain amount, and you'll take the properties, you'll take the cars and this and so forth, so that will be permissible. But you can't stipulate from now, all that would not be permissible. First of all, as I told you, we don't know who's going to pass away first and who's going to go second.
Well, so there's a sister here, she's listening to you, and she's 24 years of age, and she says, respected Mufti Saab, I received a proposal from a Moroccan. He's such a good person, Mufti Saab. He has so much of barakah, and I really like him, but my parents are not happy. Can Mufti Saab please read istikhara for me? And he only quotes hadith. Ustad.
Remember, what your parents are saying is 100% correct. What you know about him, that you just looked at him and he can speak Arabic and quote few hadith and all that which you don't know. Maybe it's not even a hadith and he's telling you his hadith. And you say he got a lot of barakah. Do you know his family? Do you know maybe he got a wife and children there in Darul Bayza, in Casablanca or Rabat or wherever? Do you know all that? You know nothing about him. So what your parents are saying is 100% correct. It's haram for you to marry him without the consent of your parents. Bad news, history, just forget him.
Somebody says, yo, Ustad, that how are the shares between three wives divided? Do all three get equal shares, Ustad?
All three will get equal shares, but it don't mean 12.5%. In that 12.5%, remember, they all, when the husband has a child, from any child or children, from any one of them, or any previous wife. So remember that in a case like that, the wife share will be 1/8, 12.5%. So 12.5% will be divided amongst all three, meaning 4%, 4%, 4%. It will be just under 4%. So in a case like that, that is what will happen for all three wives. But not 12.5% separately. The 12.5% will be divided by three, and then they will get equal shares.
Ustad, just one more question before we go for an interval. Somebody is asking for advice, Ustad. The person says, I have been divorced for about 4 months now. She requested one talaq. And in this time, I constantly think of my ex-wife. I have made dua that Allah Ta'ala either allows us to reconcile or grant me strength to move on. Can Mufti Saab please advise on the best way to move forward? Ustad.
The way I understand the question is this. About 4 months ago or so, you gave your wife one talaq. And it seems this was the first talaq you gave. And now 4 months have passed. So most probably the iddat of the lady is finished. Because Quran Sharif teaches us, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يُتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. Chapter 2, verse 227, is three menses according to Hanafis, Hanbalis, or three periods of cleanliness according to the Shafi'is and Malikis and so forth. So sometimes it can last for 4 months, 6 months is all. But normally within 4 months it will be finished. So let's say you work on that premise that now the iddat has expired, so you can't take her back and so forth. So why you don't propose to her again and tell her, okay, that you were wrong in giving her that one talaq and so forth and so on, and you want to make it up and you want to marry her and so forth. forth. If she is happy, her parents are happy, and you get married, that is permissible. But cognizance must be taken of the fact that for future, you will only possess two talaqs because you already gave her one talaq. So the only way you can solve this dilemma and problem is bin nikahin jadidin, with a new nikah. So that are what you want. So you will have to apologize. You will have to go to her parents, go to her, and when they all are happy, then you perform a nikah, and then you go forward in life. If she says no, her parents, and no, the history, then you must carry on with the geography, go look for somebody else.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Ustaz, before we take an interval, inshallah, if Ustaz can just maybe move slightly a bit, because the listeners are not hearing you clearly, and move this up, you are breaking a bit. So we're going to go, inshallah, for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132. WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
Well, it's 20 minutes to 12 o'clock on this beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday morning. Ustada, there's a listener from Senton. And the listener says, my husband has not paid my dowry since we married. That time it was 1 rand. Now he's ready to pay. How much should he pay, 1 rand or today's value? Ustada, Senton.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That I just moved nearer here to the ocean now, so I'm looking at the ocean. Indian, two people watching the Indian Ocean. Anyway, so that I just remembered now, I was thinking of Newcastle and I thought of our brother Wail. Wail embraced Islam about 3 years ago or so, and what really inspired him was the Azan. And yesterday he passed away. So Allah Ta'ala, he was teaching there and administrator at Darulum Newcastle. Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Allah Ta'ala grant his family also Sabre Jameel. Similarly, our brother Yusuf Bulbulia, now his janaza will take place in few minutes time. So Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus as well. In a case like this, where you and your husband, Allah alone knows when you got married, and we must not use the word dowry. Dowry has got Christian connotation. Use the term mahar or use the term marital gift. Wa'atun nisa aswadukatihinna nihla. So it's a marital gift or mahar. That's our Islamic terminology. We must not use Christian terminology and so forth, because it has other connotations as well. So like, you know, dowry, and that we must abstain from that. So anyway, in a case like that, what should happen is this, that you, the husband, must pay maharul mithal. Maharul mithal means that if a person gets married now, here in South Africa, in Sandton and those areas, yeah, so what will be the going rate? So the going rate will be 5,000 rand, 10,000 rand, 2,000 rand. So that is the amount you must pay. And you, the wife, are happy with that, so that's fine. So tell your husband, mashallah, that what is the going rate, and he pays that amount to you. And remember that you should have told him long time ago that he can't be paying, well, you know, he can't be playing without paying. You can't play without paying. So therefore, in Islam, we give our wife marital gift, we give the mahar, because she has made such sacrifices. She left the place of her birth, she left the parents, she left the siblings, she left everything with which she was accustomed to come and spend the remainder of her life with her husband. So it shows it's a great, great sacrifice. So the minimum we should do is give her the mahar and so forth. When I deliver lectures before performing the nikah and solemnizing the marriage and so forth, then I always address the husband-to-be, the groom, and tell him that, see, brother, I see in the book, the nikah book, the marriage book, this register, you know, that is written there, 1 Kruger coin, or is written 5,000, 10,000 rand, or whatever. So jewelry or whatever. So I say, if you want a successful marriage, then don't give mahar once only. Try and give mahar many a time. And that is tahaddu tahabbu. Fa innal hadiyata tuzhibu tughayin. Give gifts to one another. Oh, husband to the wife, wife to the husband. That will generate mutual love. And remember, fa innal hadiyata tuzhibu tughayin. Husband, wife, they will be difference of opinion, disagreements. So that will remove the malice, rancor, and hatred. Authentic hadith in Bayhaqi. Next one, why right, we are speaking on this, so Allah Ta'ala put it in my head now. Many a time you see people, now they're waiting for Ashura, they want to give this one a gift and this one a gift. There's no sunnah that. You want to give a gift, finish today, tomorrow, anytime this week you give a gift, finish. You don't have to wait for Ashura and so forth and so on. That the businessman, they found a niche in the market, and so they can use Islam to make more money. You understood? So therefore, to say no, on Ashura, I will give my uncle and my mother-in-law and this one and that one a gift and so forth. So, and you think it's sunnah, that's totally incorrect. There's no sunnah about it.
Somebody says, Ustad, there's a group of ladies in our community who just don't care of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ustad.
So you must remember that if you say the Muslim Ummah, we say in the world today, there are more than 7 billion people. If you are to take a round figure, then you say Muslims are 1 billion. That also is an exaggeration. Some people, I don't know from where they get the figure, they say Muslims are 2 billion in the world. So that is 100% incorrect. So even 1 billion Mushkil say, it will be very difficult to prove that there are 1 billion Muslims. But let's just say, to make it easy, a round figure. So if you take the 1 billion, 80%, 70%, don't worry about the 5 daily salat, which is compulsory. So what we're talking about, sunnah and so forth and so on. So when people are not bothered and they just say, no, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. So we start undermining the Islamic law. We start undermining the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. That is a path of disaster, a path of destruction and failure. And therefore, Quran Sharif states, remember that if you are going to be successful, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immaculately. It means in all walks of life. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ, then Almighty Allah will make you, but you become the beloved of Almighty Allah. You become the mahbub and the beloved of Allah. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, your sins will get forgiven. قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُ, regarding the speech Mubarak and the speech of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that also we have to obey. So that is the path of success and so forth. So therefore you see today, so many problems, Jahannam on this earth already, because people take deen and Islam very, very lightly. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتَّةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ بهم عذاب أليم. There's it there clearly in Surah 24, in the ending of it, Surah Nur. Our mother Siddiqa, Sayyidah Aisha, used to say, "Allimu nisa'akum Surah An-Nur." Teach your females, your mothers, daughters, sisters, wives, and them Surah Nur. Why? For many, many laws there to learn, social laws and others. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ, beware those people, يُخَالِفُونَ who go against the commandment of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to see bahum fitna, a fitna, calamity, disaster, catastrophe will befall you. Oh, you see bahum azabun aleem, or a painful, horrible, terrible punishment awaits you. So what more you want? This is clearly enshrined in the noble Quran. Allah protect us.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen. So Ustad, what is the ruling when it comes to safar? Some of the women take out a sadaqah for the men, and is this permissible in Islam? I've read somewhere that there is no such thing as believing in calamities, falling, superstition, etc. in this month. That's why people don't get married in Safar. Ustad.
Remember that some people don't get married during the month of Muharram, and all this you will find there in the Muslim woman, you know, the latest edition, August edition. So all the questions there are related some way or the other to Muharram and so forth. So for you ladies and men also, is very good, you should purchase a copy of Muslim Woman, the August edition, and you will find many of these issues. So certain people say you can't marry during the month of of Muharram. Why? Because the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala took place. So remember, every month some great, great people passed away. Anbiya alayhimu salatu salam, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, and the demise took place in Rabiul Awwal. So what can you say? You can't get married in Rabiul Awwal. This is Shia propaganda. Shias are 100% kuffar, and out of the fall of Islam, Khomeini writes in Tawdihul Masail, you can make mut'a prostitution for 1 hour. I have the book. So many things. They curse and swear, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anh, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anh, and they swear and curse Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. So people who do that, how can they ever be Muslim? So they're out of the fold of Islam. So for us as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, remember that to marry today, tomorrow, next week, Monday, Tuesday, Ashura day, all that totally totally permissible and acceptable. There's no problem with that. The next month will be the month of Safar. Last night I spoke about this in the lecture day in Phoenix, and let reward all the ulama who were there and all the trustees and people. Mashallah, we had a very good crowd with Allah Ta'ala's help. So remember Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith in Bukhari Sharif, La Safara. Safar, I'm on Safar. That Safar, on a journey you go, that's what the seen fara, seen fere. So you musafir, you traveling. And suffer with a sword. So that means the month that devoid. They said that no, it's all bad luck. And they said that it's calamity. So no, Islam came and abolished that notion and that belief and said, La safara. There is no bad luck. There is no superstition in Islam. So Islam came to abolish that. So you get married during Muharram, during Safar. All that totally permissible. Third one, to give charity, that is excellent. Remember that Quran teaches us that. Surah 63, verse number 10, verse number 11. وَأَنْفِقُوا spend now, O Muslim Ummah, مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ, from what we gave you. We gave you 1,000, spend something. We gave you 100,000, spend something. Million, spend something. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَيَّ أَتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, before death approaches you. Now death comes, so when that person is in the sakarat, in the pains and pangs of death, at that time, what will he beg and plead with Almighty Allah? فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Ya Allah, give me extension in time. Grant me a respite. Little time, 1 day, 1 hour. فَأَصْوَدَّقْ, I'll give charity. Imagine at that time also he thinks of charity. Because now he understood the value of it. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, I will be from the pious people. Chapter 63, verse 10. The answer from Almighty Allah, chapter 63, verse 11. وَلَيُّ أَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. No person will get extension when the time of death comes, and especially like nowadays and so forth. So it will happen on the appointed time with the ventilator, without the ventilator, with the pacemaker, without the pacemaker, whether you're in this hospital, this clinic, best doctor, best professor, everything will happen on the appointed time. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna swadaqata la tutfi'u ghadab al-Rabbi. When you give out charity, it extinguishes the wrath and the anger of Almighty Allah. So it helps us in this lifetime. So it's very good if you are traveling and so forth, you give out charity before you go on a journey. Allah protect us from accident, mishap, kidnapping, hijacking, all these type of things. Allah protect us. And with that, for umid at the soul, and it repels an evil death. It's a win-win situation. Authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif.
Somebody says, Ustad, please advise that what can one do if a husband says the marriage is over on WhatsApp? And also, is it compulsory for a wife to stay with her husband if he does not love her and treats her bad? Ustad?
Remember, if the husband sent a message and he said the marriage is over and he made the intention of talaq and so forth, then a talaq takes place. 100%, there's no question about it. And if the husband says, no, I don't love you, all that, so you must try your level best to win the heart over again of your husband. It don't mean you must just break. You know, the woman also, they get moody. The husband also get moody. So sometimes he had a difficult day and so forth. And he makes statements. So you mustn't just take everything the husband says, and you, the husband, mustn't just take everything on face value the wife says. All of us, we have sometimes our mood, our happy days, sad days, days of worry, anxiety, and so forth. Then your aim should not be just to break the marriage. The aim should be to make the marriage and so forth. How will you bring the love? Quran is teaching you. وَمِنْ آيَاتِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. When you get married, first it must bring sukoon, peace, tranquility, serenity. Husband and wife, you embrace one another, you meet one another, and so forth. So it must be the bodies are meeting, and thereafter the hearts are meeting. Both of you are going in the same direction, not opposite direction. Then it will be a recipe for conflict and tension. Then, first, when that happens, you got peace, tranquility, serenity. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً. Now you try to fulfill the laws of Almighty Allah, fulfill hukukul ibad, the rights of creation, wife, husband, children, all that. Then Allah will bring more and more love. And then in your old age now, you married 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you don't have to tell her, darling, poppy, sweetheart, all that, every day I love you. She don't have to say, honey, I love you every day. No. Allah Ta'ala brings وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَالرَّحْمَةً. Allah Ta'ala brings mercy, compassion. You remember the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years, how much sacrifice the wife made. She thinks about how much sacrifice he, the husband, made and so forth. So that is what Islam teaches us.
So Ustad, what dua can one read for Shifa-e Kamila, for a loved one that has been diagnosed with cancer, Ustad?
Always when people have certain illness and sickness, he, the person who's ill or sick, or she, the mother, daughter, wife, sister, so read chapter 21, verse 83. Anni masaniya durru. Ya Allah, this calamity, this catastrophe has struck me. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. You are the most merciful one to show mercy. Dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Wonderful, powerful dua. Allah Jalla wa Ala will assist you and help you. Then you can read Surah 21, verse 87. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. This, the person who's ill should read, his family should read. Why? To remove the worry, sorry, anxiety. Third one, Dawu Marudakum bi Sadaqa, that give out charity on behalf of your sick, and that is you give some medication. Medication you mean charity. To attract the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, the hadith in the Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood, so we accept that as well. Read Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha is Surah to Shifa. Any verse, any surah of the noble Quran you read and you blow on the person, Allah Jalla Wala will grant shifa, inshallah. In Bukhari Sharif is mentioned, you read Surah Fatiha 7 times, so that is very, very good, and that will bring shifa, inshallah, with Allah's command and permission. So, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ shifa. Allah revealed the entire Quran Sharif, and it is shifa and cure. So all this you should try and do. And the person himself or herself should read, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from the dreaded diseases, evil sicknesses. Authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and Sunan Nasai. So all this Islam has taught us. And today we, all of us, you see, this one going for operation, that one going to the hospital, that one in a clinic. So read Bukhari Sharif hadith, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-haram. Ya haram, what is haram sharif? Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwarah. That is with a ha. That is with a ha, like Harun. So Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-haram. O Almighty Allah, I seek your protection from the haram. That is old age, making my life a burden on others and so forth. What we call in our vernacular, our languages, Ya Allah, don't make us muhtaj and dependent on others. Make us muhtaj and dependent on you alone, O beloved Allah.
Ustad, one more question is that a listener says, my husband is a non-Muslim, but he treats me better than Muslims. I know. We are legally married, Mufti Sahib, but Muslims say that this is haram marriage. Could you please explain to me, Ustad?
Remember, sister, you out of the fold of Islam. First of all, you got married to a non-Muslim. Second one, you're justifying it. You're going against the Quranic text, which is so clear. Chapter number 60 and verse number 10. La hunna hillul lahum wa la hum yahilluna lahun. It's not permissible for any Muslim lady to marry any non-Muslim male, whether he's a Jew, Christian, Hindu, or atheist, or Zionist, or whatever you want to call, or a Buddhist, and so forth. It's not permissible for a Muslim lady to marry a non-Muslim man, and not permissible for the non-Muslim man to marry the Muslim lady. This is Quranic text, sister. So you say you're married, and you're trying to justify it. So that takes a person out of the fold of Islam. So you must repent immediately, read your kalima again, and give him the ultimatum. If you want me to stay with you, become a Muslim, and then we perform nikah and so forth. He doesn't want to, you tell him he must go his way and you go your way. And if you have children from him, all the children are illegitimate, are haram children, and the lineage will go to you. That is the unanimous verdict of Islam. There's no two opinions on that issue.
Ustad, we leave it there, inshallah. Any message from your side, Ustad?
Inshallah, today our program will be there in the Mountain Rise Masjid where Mawlana Bamji is, Mawlana Abdul Aziz Ahmad, and so forth. So inshallah, this afternoon, after Zohar or so, we'll be going there. So make dua, it will be live on the radio, inshallah, Jamaat is 7:15. So inshallah, and between 1 and 2, you can listen to the tafsir of the Noble Quran. You, the sister who asked this question just now about being married to a non-Muslim, that is coming up in the tafsir today between 1:05 and 1:30, so you can listen to that carefully. May Almighty Allah protect us from the kufri, from blasphemy, with shirki, polytheism, and nifaki, hypocrisy. Barakallahu feek. Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Well, up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Sulaiman Esop. I will be seeing you guys, inshallah, tomorrow morning, same time, same place, on our program, As-Safinatu Ila Al-Jannah. From myself and Haji Sulaiman Esop and all of the listeners out there, Allahumma hadina wa hadi bina wa hadi nas jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.